Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Steve, first of all, we were just having a conversation before about, you know, like how Deion Sanders, what came up because Kyler Murray talked about playing baseball, and I said that's crazy. He's a quarterback. He can't play baseball unless he fully committed to it, which he's not going to. And as a former baseball player yourself, who's turned into a football analyst with PFF, do you ever see another player playing baseball and football at the same time again?
Yeah, so obviously I can relate to Kyler Murray and Deion Sanders. You know, that's very relatable in my life. it's really a challenge. I mean, I think the interesting thing about Patrick Mahomes in his evaluation, he always had the crazy tools and all that stuff at Texas Tech, but when he quit baseball his last years, when he took great strides his last year at Texas Tech and, of course, became the superstar that he is now, I do think it is just so tough to focus. And even back in the day was Brian Jordan and Deion Sanders and Bo Jackson. You know, Bo was probably the best of that group at everything he did.
Yep.
But Deion Sanders was just an okay Major League Baseball player. This is all perspective here, right? Brian Jordan was, I think, better at baseball than football. I mean, it's just so tough to master both. So it will take a special athlete, but, you know, I'll never say never, but it just obviously hasn't happened in a while because it is really just so difficult to master both.
You think Kyler Murray would ever leave football to go to baseball?
Leave football, I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, it takes a special guy to play quarterback and be that competitive and all that stuff, so if he lost that, maybe.
Yeah, right.
Baseball is a safer game if you're not in the minors. You know what I mean? It's safer from a –
yeah.
It's a grind, but, like, you know, as far as, you know, guaranteed money in the majors and, fewer injuries and all that stuff. But, man, he's a quarterback, man. He's the quarterback of the team.
That's
and he's
right.
Still getting better. So I think football's his game.
Yeah, if he played any other position, like, if you play any other position in football, then it's smart to play baseball. But if you're a quarterback, then you could make baseball money. You know, and so I think that's the way to go. All right, Steve. So also we were a couple of things we've referenced from you guys. Let's talk about something we were just talking about last segment as well. I don't know if this is from you, but from the, you know, PFF Twitter handle, we were talking about the fact that there was some projections about what Jordan Love's season would look like if he were the quarterback all season, and it was 4,149 yards, 24 touchdowns, and 15 picks, which was basically the same numbers as Trevor Lawrence. I don't know, you know, who came up with these numbers, like how you got them, or what you had to do with them specifically. But are you buying that Jordan Love and if he plays the whole season, would have the same numbers as Trevor Lawrence?
Definitely, that's not coming from me. I assume that's our fantasy projection. So I would.
Okay. Yeah.
I think with fantasy passing projections, so much of that is what's around you, right? So,
sure.
Green Bay has a pretty good offensive line historically. I think I ranked them a little bit lower than they've been in my offensive line rankings. And then they do have Devontae Adams, right? They do have a Robert Tonyan who had a big year. So I think from a statistical standpoint, there are some nice playmakers in Green Bay who look much better than they did last year at this time. Whereas the Jaguars, I like their playmakers too, but they're more potential-driven. LaVisca Chenault and Marvin Jones is getting a little bit older. DJ Chark's been up and down. I think they're going to be good. I think Trevor Lawrence will be better than Jordan Love. But when you're projecting stats for quarterbacks, so much is what's around him.
When you look at the Bears and their situation at quarterback, is there any way you think Justin Fields does not start the season?
Yeah, there's always that potential. I mean, there's, you know, Baker Mayfield didn't start, and you know, so many quarterbacks didn't start. You know, and it lasted 3 weeks. It was the 1 year the Jaguars insisted that Chad Henne was their quarterback and Blake Bortles was going to sit, and then, you know, week three happened. So, I mean, there's teams generally like – and Andy Dalton is a safe veteran to start, right? I mean, it's not like he's a disastrous backup. You feel comfortable there. So I could definitely see a scenario where it's a couple weeks of Dalton and then it's Justin Fields. But I do agree there's more pressure in Chicago for Justin Fields to see the field early than maybe anywhere else, just because of the way they've trended as far as Ryan Pace as GM and Matt Nagy as head coach.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus. Steve, you're giving us a lot of things to talk about. We also, earlier in the week, talked about the podcast with you and Chris Collinsworth when you were talking about the Browns. I believe it was this week, if I remember correctly. And Chris said a really interesting thing where he talked about Odell Beckham and how he will fit back in with his team and how, you know, maybe Baker, because the team had success, will be more confident and not be, you know, necessarily forcing the ball to him, although I don't buy that he really did. And but maybe Odell will have a different attitude as well, knowing that the team did have success without him. What do you think of that?
Yeah, we went for 2 hours going through the entire NFL. What a blur.
Great podcast, by the way, Steve. Great podcast. It was awesome.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. And I really wanted to get, you know, Chris had me on his show, but I wanted to get his perspective, you know, as a receiver. And,
yeah.
Because Chris is good at understanding that mental component. And a lot of the stuff, I'm not saying we lack at PFF, but, you know, a lot of times we're by the numbers and everything. But I've said on this show a ton, you know, whatever happened in 2019, the offense was just not on the same page. And I thought what Chris described was Odell Beckham being this route runner who likes to take liberties and, you know, maybe not run it exactly by the book. And it does affect the quarterback a little bit. It might affect the quarterback when you're just waiting that extra tick, because it's such a timing and precision game. And boy, was that evident, you know, in 2019. So Chris's point that maybe, you know, OBJ looks at this and said, wow, this thing ran without me. I better online. I better be a part of the system. And again, this is a Shanahan tree, right? That system, it's a precision system as well from a route running standpoint. It's not, you know, Big Ben and Antonio Brown had great chemistry a lot because Big Ben was willing to adjust to Antonio Brown's unique route running style. But not every quarterback can do that. And I thought Baker definitely looked so much more comfortable when he was just running the offense. So it's one of the biggest stories of the season, I think, because I think OBJ is so incredibly talented. He wins everywhere. And if he just, you know, does his job, so to speak, I think he'll get his from a production standpoint. It will be interesting to see that chemistry now with, you know, a year plus so far of Baker and OBJ together.
Did Chris think that he had to almost stare at Odell Beckham down the whole play just to make sure he knows where the hell he's at because he didn't know what route he's going to run because he was freelancing so much?
Yeah, and as I said on the pod, there were so many times, you know, a lot of times in offenses you have that middle of the field read and you're going to run a post or you're going to keep it up the seam. And there are times, you know, the quarterback can't wait too long. You know, you've got 2.5 seconds back there. So as soon as you see the receiver look like he's going to plant and break, you got to throw the ball. And there was so many times OBJ did that. He looked like he was going to run a post, and then he was like, maybe not. And there was just enough indecision. And on vertical routes, you kind of have to do that. Now, there's shorter routes where it's okay. Like, I've always described Tom Brady as kind of a see-it-throw-it type of guy, and that's not a knock. I just think Brady likes to confirm, I have an option route, this guy's taking this option, and I'm going to throw it accurately and put it on him. There are certain routes where you can do that, but as the further you get down the field, the more you have to throw with timing because you just don't have time with the offensive line. And there was definitely elements of that, I think, with Baker. I got to go back and watch even more. I want to watch more and see when OBJ was running down the field how that affected Mayfield's timing.
We're talking with Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus. Steve, are there, you know, there are still a bunch of veteran free agents out there, at least notably off the top of my head, there's a bunch of guys on the D-line. Maybe I'm just paying more attention to that position because if the Browns were going to sign one last late free agent, I could see it being a defensive lineman. Are there some intriguing guys still out there for you that you still think at a very cheap price, which I assume it would be at this point, can at least somewhat contribute to a team?
I mean, yeah. I mean, there's Richard Sherman is still out there. I don't know if he's still wanting to play or whatever it might be. Russell Okung, an offensive tackle, not as helpful for the Browns. Melvin Ingram, I believe, is still out there. I'm looking at our list. He's I don't know if this is updated. Since then, Malik Hooker has been doing the rounds a little bit at safety. Again, I don't know if there's been recent movement with him. Hooker's a safety. These are all positions. The Browns are so loaded everywhere. It's not like they need a defensive lineman. Certainly don't need a
starting offensive lineman. When's the last time you said that, by the way, Steve?
I know, right? It's crazy, right? The depth is looking good in Cleveland.
Steve, you mentioned Melvin Ingram. You know, Sheldon Richardson, who the Browns cut, is out there. So is Geno Atkins. I mean, can any of these guys – I think Sheldon Richardson could probably still help if they were going to bring him back at a cheaper price if he's willing. Do you think – I mean, Geno was hurt last year. He was still pretty good, I think, 2 years ago. Does he still have anything left in the tank? I mean, what do you think?
Geno, I'm less confident about. There have been so many players, there's definitely a point where they just they don't have much to offer. Is Jarrell Casey out there? I'm trying to find my list of Jarrell Casey.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put you in a tough spot.
No, it's fine. It's fine. If Jarrell Casey's still out there, he's a guy that I would that I would take a shot on. He only played 156 snaps last year, but he's still productive. He's a couple years removed from really good season. And I think Sheldon Richardson absolutely is a good player. Showed that he was a good player last year. It's just a matter of, the value at that contract. So – Morgan Moses for, the tackle needy teams. Teams need him after Washington released him. So, yeah, there's still a few players to potentially look at.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about Dwayne Haskins in Pittsburgh. Is there any chance Dwayne can somehow find a resurgence with the Steelers or with another team?
I don't have a ton of confidence. I thought he's one of those guys. There's nuance with first-round picks. I feel like in my old age, I'm coming around to the fact that teams just have to take shots on quarterbacks in the first round, and we can't completely trash them if they miss because they have to take that shot. So Washington took a shot. It was the 15th overall pick. He's gone in a year and a half. That's fine. They still need a quarterback. They needed one then. They still need one. It's a worthwhile risk because the payout is incredible. But at the time, I saw Haskins as a first-round pick, a necessary first-rounder, I guess, so to speak. But my concerns were – the modern-day NFL quarterback makes plays outside the pocket and has instincts and feel and has to do a lot beyond what's schemed up. And Haskins never really excelled in that area from what I saw at Ohio State. He was never really good moving off the spot. Or, if you blocked it up and you had an open receiver, he'd make some good-looking NFL throws. But I never had really high confidence in Haskins becoming a high-end starter. But there's always that possibility. And then when you see, what he did from an off-field standpoint, you just don't see – a ton of success from quarterbacks who have focus issues. So, it's your job. It's everything. And Haskins, had his head everywhere else. So I think it's a low risk, signing for the Steelers, but I don't have a ton of confidence that Haskins completely has a resurgence there.
Steve, after the Julio Jones trade to Tennessee, I heard a lot of people in the national media saying that the Titans are now a contender for the Super Bowl, and I don't know, maybe I'm crazy. I think the Titans are good, and obviously Julio Jones makes them better, but if you didn't think they were a Super Bowl contender, does Julio Jones by himself now make them one? Am I wrong for thinking that they may be, but I don't know how you thought they weren't, and now they are, just because of Julio.
The tricky part is I think Julio moves the needle more than maybe any non-quarterback in the NFL when it comes to that, right? So even in our win projections, they went up half a win, which is massive for one player. I always make the point that football is so unique in that it's the quarterback's the only needle mover. In other sports, a catcher could be a needle mover or an outfielder or a pitcher. In any starting five player in the NBA could be the superstar. But in football, it's only the quarterback. So when you go to non-quarterbacks, a guy like Julio is one of the best, as far as actually adding to a team. And when you look at where Tennessee was coming from, A.J. Brown and a bunch of just mid-tier, below-average wide receivers and tight ends, the Titans needed Julio more than anyone else. So, Josh Reynolds was their number two wide receiver. He moves to maybe to their three. So, I think it at least makes them probably the favorite in the AFC South. It does move the needle that much. They still have questions in the secondary that need to be answered, but they drafted and signed a Janoris Jenkins. So I do think it's pretty significant. And I can't wait to see Julio Jones and A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry all on the field at the same time. It's a bunch of freak athletes right there.
You think from, you know, I know you're not the fantasy guy, but I know you do, but you, I'm sure you can give us an answer, I think. You know, from a fantasy perspective, who's a, you know, from Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, Ryan Tannehill, Matt Ryan, Calvin Ridley, what's his name? I can't think of the tight end because I'm having a brain freeze day. The Kyle new Pitts? Tight end on the Falcons.
Oh, Pitts. Kyle Pitts.
Kyle Pitts. Who do you think is most affected either positively or negatively by from a fantasy perspective?
Definitely Tannehill positively, Matt Ryan negatively. I don't know if Tannehill's going to throw with enough volume for it to move the needle. But as far as Matt Ryan, like Matt Ryan's splits with Julio and without Julio are pretty significant. And it's funny because, you know, we always preach that it's a QB-driven game, and I agree with all of that. And I think Matt Ryan's been a top eight quarterback for the majority of his career. It is a little alarming when Julio's on the field, how much better Matt Ryan has been. And he's a good passer, you know. But I think there's almost this like tipping point when you drop off from elite quarterbacks and you get into that next tier where the high end receivers move the needle, and Julio's been that guy. So I think Matt Ryan's the guy who loses out a little bit. Calvin Ridley wins because he'll see a lot more targets and higher volume. And I think it's good for A.J. Brown. I think he's going to get his targets no matter what, but he'll get a lot more one-on-one. So, you know, it's a good question, but, you know, definitely looking at the quarterbacks as, you know, winners and losers in that in particular.
All right. So far, the Lions have avoided signing Todd Gurley, which makes me happy. I mean, it's amazing, though, how fast, and I know that that goes to your point of, you know, not spending big on running backs, and I agree with it in general, even though I want the Browns to sign Nick Chubb. But, like, Todd Gurley went from best running back in football to a guy you don't even want on your – if you're a fan, you don't want him on your team in, like, 2 seconds.
By the way, Todd Gurley, there was a point – I was on NFL Network a couple years ago breaking down the MVP candidates. It was the year everybody thought he was an MVP, and I said, it's Patrick Mahomes and, you know, maybe Phillip Rivers. And then they said, what about Gurley? And I said, no way. Of course it's not Todd Gurley. And he posted some Instagram calling me a clown, by the way. And – showing that segment. And since that point, I'm just saying, since that point, the wheels have fallen off. I mean, I think Todd Gurley is the classic case of he was averaging 3.2 yards per carry when it was Jeff Fisher and a terrible Rams offense and a terrible offensive line. And then McVay shows up, great, turns the offensive line around, great scheme, great system. And then Gurley's the most productive running back in the NFL. And then, you know, a lot of people, because it's a fantasy-driven world, you only look at touchdowns. And he had the 17 or 18 that 1 year. But he had twice as many carries just inside the five as any other running back. So it's an opportunity-driven position. It is a position where generally you're so dependent on everything around you. And look, there are outliers. And if I was highlighting outliers over the last couple of years, it'd be Nick Chubb, it'd be Derrick Henry, it'd be Alvin Kamara, because all of those guys do everything beyond their run blocking. Last year, Nick Chubb had the run blocking, and he went above and beyond. And that's been his career. That's been Derrick Henry. Gurley was always, his production was in line with what was around him, and I think that was, you know, that's the crux of the running back argument is there's just so much dependency on your ecosystem.
Steve, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate the time. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.